little bit of a cold today, so sorry if I sound funny.
You are beauty, you are wisdom, you are our brother Dwayne has taken the time to prepare a message for this day. I know the Lord uses him. And I ask that you would give him your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful special. It's good to see each one of you here today. The topic of my sermon today is going to be the kingdom of God. And I got this subject from my brother Gordon the last time he preached. This is just the last part of a verse he read. It says, "If there must be hope, there must be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God." And we'll read that complete verse later. But you know, it made me think. What else do we need to do to be saved in the kingdom of God? What are God's requirements for us? And there are quite a few scriptures that talk directly about that, that they give us a list of things that we must do to be saved in the kingdom of God. And we will read those in a few minutes. The definition of kingdom in Vines, it says a sovereignty, a royal power, or dominion. In the dictionary, it says the spiritual sovereignty of God or Christ. The domain over which the spiritual sovereignty of God or Christ extends, whether in heaven or on earth. And a sovereignty is a supreme and independent power or authority. So this kingdom that we're talking about is God's kingdom. We know that there are other kingdoms, earthly kingdoms that, you know, the many of them in the scriptures, it talks about these the different kingdoms. They're earthly kingdoms, though, and they all fade away. But not this kingdom of God that God is in charge of. It will never fade away. It will be here for eternity. And I know that is each one of our desires in our hearts. To be saved in that kingdom of God. That is our goal in this life. If we do that, we have been successful. If we don't, we have failed. And it doesn't matter what you accumulate in this life. To dwell in that kingdom of God. That has got to be our goal. It has to be our focus in life. Every day of our life. That has got to be our focus. But how many people are truly searching for the kingdom of God? How many people in this world are searching for that? You know, last week, my wife and I were in Orlando. And what is Orlando famous for? Disney World. You know, I wonder what Orlando was like before Disney World. It was probably just some little sleepy town. I don't know what they had there before Disney World. But it has changed Orlando forever. Disney World. You know, it's a place of family entertainment. They have rides, special effects, this type of thing. But there's also another attraction in Orlando. It's called the Holy Land Experience. How many of you have heard of it? A couple. The Holy Land Experience. My wife and I went to that. And it was a good experience. They had a replica there of Jerusalem at 66 AD. A scale model. I think they said it was the largest model in the world. Very interesting to see this model and how hilly and everything and all the little houses and the temple. And they had someone who gave a little presentation on where each piece was. They had kind of a little play of Christ's ministry while he was here on earth. They had a story about Moses. They had some musical presentations, Christian music. They had a little play of the crucifixion of Christ. They had a replica there of the tomb that he was laid in. They had a replica there of that was built of the temple there in Jerusalem. Very interesting place in Orlando. Which one of these places do you think had the most people? Silly question, isn't it? We know which one had the most people. Disney World had tens of thousands of people. Multiple parks, thousands of people in each park every day of the year. But the little Holy Land experience, I guess there was maybe 200 people there. No more. It kind of made me think of the way the world is. To me, it was kind of typical of the world. All these thousands of people at Disney World. Family entertainment. Not that it was wrong to be going to Disney World. But it just made me think of those people. How many of them are unaware? Unaware of what they need to do in their life. Unaware that they need to be seeking Christ. So that they can be saved in that kingdom of God. And then the little Holy Land experience with its small little handful of people, a couple hundred people. Again, kind of typical, isn't it? Of how many people may really be seeking after the Lord and Savior. And of course, I'm not saying that all the people that were at Disneyland or Disney World were bad people, nor necessarily these people at the Holy Land experience were good people. But just this division of having something that is based on the Bible and based on a belief in God and have such a few people there. And I think we can see that today in this nation of how few people are truly seeking after the Lord. But that is the number one thing in their hearts. I've divided my sermon into three parts. The first part is the kingdom of the devil. For we know that there is an opposition in all things, good and bad, right and wrong. The second part, where is this kingdom of God? And the third part, what must we do to be saved in the kingdom of God? The first part, The kingdom of the devil. Let's turn to 1 Nephi chapter 7, verses 45 to 54. This is on page 75. And it shall come to pass that all they which will not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. And now I, Nephi, declare unto you that this prophet of whom Moses spake was the Holy One of Israel. This prophet was Christ. Wherefore he shall execute judgment in righteousness, and the righteous need not fear, for it is they which shall not be confounded. We need to remember that the righteous need not fear. But it is the kingdom of the devil which shall be built up among the children of men, which kingdom is established among them which are in the flesh. For the time speedily come that all churches which are built up to get gain, all they which are built up to get power over the flesh, and they which are built up to become popular in the eyes of the world, and they which seek the lusts of the flesh and the things of the world and do all manner of iniquity. We can see these churches today, can't we, in this nation? But it describes him as being of the kingdom of the devil. They wouldn't want to hear that, would they? Probably wouldn't agree with this. But if they are built up to get gain, or built up to get power over the flesh, a lot of these Pentecostal movements, they have power over the flesh. We saw on the news last night, they've got a new rap church in New York City. Because the young people weren't coming to church. So it's all rap music. Do you think that is the Spirit of the Lord? I can assure you it is not. To stir up the flesh. And they which are built up to become popular in the eyes of the world. And they which seek the lusts of the flesh and the things of this world. Verse 53. Yea, and fine, all they which belong to the kingdom of devil. It is they which need fear and tremble and quake. It is they which must be brought low in the dust. It is they which must be consumed as stubble. And this is according to the words of the prophet. They will be destroyed. The kingdom of the devil. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Here Paul is talking to the people in Corinth. Verse 9. And he asked them, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? He's asking these people, don't you know this? Don't you realize that the unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is not an all-inclusive list. There's several other scriptures here in the New Testament that have similar readings with different sins identified. But we have to understand that people that are doing these things are the unrighteous. And if they continue to do them and do not repent of them and forsake those things, they will not be a part of that kingdom of God. Let's look at Alma, chapter 16, verses 233 to 236, on page 431. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Procrastination, something we need to be aware of in our lives. It's easy to procrastinate things. And probably every one of us does it to some degree in our lives. And some things may not matter. Some of these temporal things of life. You know, if we never do get the fence repainted, probably not going to affect our spiritual lives. But we need to be careful of those spiritual things, the things that we need to do in this life, and not procrastinate them. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. And this I know, because the Lord hath said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell. That's where God dwells. He dwells in the hearts of the righteous. He doesn't dwell in unholy temples. He's not there. In the hearts of the righteous. Yea, and he hath also said that the righteous shall sit down in his kingdom, to go no more out, but their garments should be made white through the blood of the Lamb. What a wonderful promise that is for the righteous. We always need to be mindful of these things and where we're at in our spiritual lives. Because just because we are sitting in this room and have made that covenant with our Lord and Savior does not mean that we may not from time to time have sin in our lives. And we need to get those things out of our life so we can have a closer walk with our Lord and Savior. Now let's look at the second part. Where is the kingdom of God? Let's look at John 18, 35 and 36. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" And of course, he's talking to Christ. And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." We see here that Jesus says that his kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom did not originate here. Christ came here to establish his church on this land. But his kingdom is not part of this world system. It's not part of our government. It's spiritual. His kingdom is spiritual. But so many of these people were looking for something else. They were looking for something else to be established. His kingdom is in our hearts. If we allow it to be, it can be there. And we know that in the future, after the final judgment, the new heavens and the new earth, there His kingdom will be forever, where the righteous will abide with Christ. Let's turn over to Luke 17, 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them, saying, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." That's where this portion of the kingdom is. It can be in our hearts, our service to Him. We know that our God has a kingdom in heaven, in paradise, where He dwells. The kingdom of heaven. But it can also be here, in our hearts, for those that are desirous to serve our Lord and Savior. We won't turn to it, but in Romans 14, verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." This righteousness that comes from within, this peace that we can have in our hearts no matter what is going on around us, and this joy that we can receive. It's all available to us. Let's turn to John 14, 15 through 17. And these are Christ's words. "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." We can have this Holy Spirit in us, part of our lives, to guide us and direct us. Verse 23, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." If we love and serve our Lord, He will make His abode with us. He will be there with us in this temporal life. Verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. If we allow it, that Holy Spirit can guide us and direct us in all things that we do in our lives. Everything, every decision that we have to make, if we are faithful, it will be there with us. So you see, we can have a portion of this kingdom of God while we are here in this temporal life. The kingdom of God is everywhere. We know that God is everywhere. We know that He created all things. He created us. He created the earth. And we know that there is a kingdom of heaven where He dwells. We can have our portion here on this earth. But that kingdom of God that we are trying to be saved into, that is that kingdom of heaven, that new heaven and that new earth after the final judgment. That is our goal. That is that kingdom that we are striving to obtain when we leave this world. Now let's look at the third part. What we must do to be saved in the kingdom of God. What are the requirements that our Lord and Savior has given to us that we need to follow? The first one, let's look at 2 Nephi, chapter 6, verse 42, page 108. But behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they which have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they which have endured the crosses of the world and despised the shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared from them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be full forever. So we see here that you have to believe in the Holy One of Israel, don't you? You have to believe that Christ was the very Son of God. And those which have endured the crosses of the world. That can be kind of hard sometimes, can it? We have to endure those things. Our trials, our temptations, our struggles. Maybe being ridiculed and rejected. Maybe being hated. Maybe even death. The prophets of old, many gave up their lives. That was their cross that they had to bear. But they were willing to do that. And it says, and despise the shame of it. Despise the shame of this world. The filthiness, the disgrace, the dishonesty. We have to despise those things of this world. And not get caught up in them. And we see that this was prepared for them, for us, from the foundation of the world. And their joy shall be full forever. This is what is prepared. God has prepared a place for each one of us. In Jacob chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "But as many as will not harden their hearts shall be saved in the kingdom of God." We can't have a hard heart. Sometimes that's a struggle, isn't it? To soften our hearts. To not be stubborn. To yield to the will of our Lord and Savior. Let's look at Moroni chapter 10, verses 15 and 16. This is on page 776. This is the verses that Gordon read in his last sermon that gave me the idea for this sermon. Page 776, verses 15 and 16. "Wherefore there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith. Neither can ye if ye have not hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity." Faith, hope, and charity. We must have them actively in our lives to be saved in the kingdom of God. It's a requirement. We have to believe on our Lord and Savior. Have faith in those things that He has told us. Have that hope in our hearts for a better life, for a better world. And have that charity in our hearts, that pure love of Christ, which is, again, not always easy, is it? Not always easy. But it is required of us. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi chapter 6, verses 48 to 50. It's on page 108. "And he commanded all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And if they will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name and endure to the end, they must be damned. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, hath spoken it." So we see a few more things that are required. These are requirements to be saved in the kingdom of God. They're not suggestions, they are requirements. It says we must have perfect faith, which we've already mentioned, but we must repent. We must repent of our sins and be baptized in His name. These are requirements for salvation. And it says in verse 49 that we must endure to the end. These are concepts that most modern religions do not preach. And we have to be careful and not get caught up into those things. Because as time goes on, we're going to hear more and more false teachings. We have to remain strong and steadfast in our beliefs. And understand that we must repent. We must be baptized, which a lot of churches do not preach anymore. And we must endure to the end, which churches do not preach those things. But they are requirements of us. Let's turn over to John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And this born again means baptism. But most religions don't interpret it that way. They have all kinds of different ideas, but it doesn't mean baptism to them. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We must be baptized, born of the water, and born of the Spirit, to have the hands laid upon our heads. We receive that gift of the Holy Spirit that we talked about earlier, that it would dwell with us forever. And you know what's funny in this passage here? If you go down just a few more verses in this same passage, you have John 3:16. It says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we know that people, churches today, believe you don't need baptism, that you just need to believe in Christ. But we've talked earlier in this chapter about that you have to be born of the water. And if you go on down farther in this chapter, in verse 23, this is all in the same chapter, we read, and John also was baptizing, let's see here, verse 22, After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. It's all in the same chapter. Yet, they say this born of the water is something else. My study Bible says, born of the water. Obviously, they don't believe in baptism. It says Jesus were probably referring to the cleansing work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. They don't believe it means baptism with water. Yet still, in that same later on in this passage, it talks of Christ baptizing. One of the things that is required of us to obtain and be saved in the kingdom of God. Mosiah, chapter 11, verses 187 and 188. This is on page 288. And the Lord said unto me, Marvel not that all mankind, yea, men and women, all nations, kindred, tongues, and people, must be born again. Yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming his sons and daughters. And thus they become new creatures, and unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. So we see part of what this baptism must do for us, that we become new creatures. It's, you know, it's a lot more than just a symbolic thing of being baptized. There's more to it. It has to be what's in your heart. That we become new creatures, that our lives change from that time forward. When we come out of that water, we are a new person. Our life has been changed. We have dedicated our life to serving God. And if we haven't done that, we have not done all that was required. Third Nephi, chapter 5, verses 40 and 41. This is on page 634. And again, I say unto you, ye must repent and be baptized in my name. Which we've already read that, haven't we? But look at what else it says. And become as a little child. Or ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Another thing that is required of us, we must become as a little child. We must be humble and submissive to our Lord and Savior like a little child. Verily I say unto you, this is my doctrine, and whoso buildeth upon this, buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. When we build upon that rock, we are building upon Jesus Christ. And when we do that and remain firm and endure to the end, we cannot lose the battle. Christ is the rock. He is going to be victorious in the end. We know that. That Satan is going to lose this battle. We just have to decide which team we're on. And I know that we have made a covenant with Jesus Christ. We have chosen the team. But we need to remain steadfast throughout our lives. Verse 68. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. We must keep his commandments. And that's something that each one of us has to work on daily, every day of our lives. Second Nephi, chapter 13, verse 31, on page 163. Verse 31, and now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. Now let's go back and read what this way is. What are we required to do? So let's go back to verse 24 and read more of these requirements for us to obtain the kingdom of God. Verse 24. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water. And then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path, which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. This is where most of us are in this building today. We have done that. Most have been baptized. They have entered into that gate, through that gate, and they are on that straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. That is where we are. But we cannot be complacent and think that that is all we need to do. Let's read on and see what else we need to be doing. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. We see some more things added here, don't we? That we must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. When you are pressing forward, that means you are continually going forward. Continually. You don't stop, because what happens when you stop? You fall back and there's a gap there. We need to press steadily forward. And what happens when we don't? We open ourselves up for sin, don't we? For falling away, for getting off of that straight and narrow path. And as many of us know, when you're on that path and you fall down into that valley, it's hard to climb back up, isn't it? It's not easy. Must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, and a love of God and of all men. We have to have that love in our hearts for not only our Lord and Savior, but for our fellow man. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. You see something else added here. We're pressing forward, but we need to feast upon the word of Christ. We need to study his word regularly. It's important. We need to know what he has for us, what his plan is. We need to continually study so we'll have a greater understanding of what is required of us, what he is asking us to do in this life. And it says, to endure to the end, and ye shall have eternal life. Verse 31, and now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. There's no other way. We have to believe that without doubt. To the very core of our belief, our being, we have to believe that this is the only way. Without any doubt, this is the way. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. This is what Christ has asked us to do, what he has required of us to do. If we want to be saved in the kingdom of God, he has very clearly and very plainly told us what is required. And it is the desire of my heart that each one of us will strive. Do not procrastinate. To put the things out of our lives. The things that are holding us back. The things that are pulling us down. That we eliminate them, those things, and focus our life on Jesus Christ. He needs to be the focus of our life. No matter what else we're doing, no matter what else is going on around us, our jobs, our work, our school, whatever it might be, those are all secondary. And if we do focus on Christ, make Him number one in our lives, in all aspects of our lives, we will be saved in that kingdom of God, which is the goal of each one of us. Thank you.